Hey folks, if you've been tuning in over the last couple months, you've heard all about the Game Time app and how it can save you some serious cash on last minute tickets to sports, concerts, all types of shows. That great selection, that variety, that is my favorite thing about the Game Time app. Obviously, the holidays are here and getting someone tickets is a great gift to give to really anyone because of the diversity of options. You can give them tickets to sports. You can give them tickets to concerts. You can give them tickets to a show at a beautiful theater. And all of those are available on the Game Time app. And now it gets even better because Game Time is hooking you up for the holidays with a $10 credit. Here's what to do. Download the Game Time app in the Google Play or App Store. Click on the My Tickets section of the app, create an account, then under the billing section, redeem code THEATHLETIC. Once again, that's THEATHLETIC, all one word, for $10 off your first purchase. That's free money, people. Credit is only available to the first 1,000 people who redeem the code, and it expires at the end of this year. That's December 31st, 2019. So make moves quick and score last-minute tickets. Wire for week 16, our second to last episode of the season. We'll be doing a little look back at 2019 after the new year, but of course, we've got one more episode during the year. Anyone who's listening to this, except for those of you who play in week 17 championship leagues for some reason, is headed to their fantasy football championship. So congratulations to you. We're hopefully going to help you get your lineups in good order 1 week out as we set out on this edition of Wire to Wire. I am Michael Beller, joined by one of those Week 17 guys, Brandon Funston. Funston, are you headed to the semis in that league or the finals in any others?
Assuming that the New Orleans Saints defense does not put up 70 points on Monday night, I should be heading to my semifinal Week 16. I'm one of those Week 17 crazies. But I'm in good shape. I'm moving on. I have one other league that it finishes in week 16, and I went to bed last night assuming I had lost in that league. I was down by 1.12 points. I don't know what happened overnight, but I woke up, and the weird thing is I'm sitting now tied at 123.58 to 123.58. Both of us have already used all of our players, so I have to wait and hear what the commissioner says in terms of a tiebreaker here, but I don't know what happened. Some kind of scoring correction or something on the overnight run. Who knows? Man.
And a 1.12 scoring correction, too. There must have been like some passing yards involved to get that sort of scoring correction.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So I'm anxiously awaiting what happens here for sure. How about you?
Yeah, well, I hope the tiebreaker gods are with you. I am headed to the championship in one. My home league team, I took down the top seed who unquestionably had the best team in the league going into the playoffs. But his team just put up a stinker. My team, on the other hand, really showed up. So headed to the championship in that league, very excited. And then my other league, down to the wire here tonight, I am losing by a little less than 9 points. I've got Michael Thomas. He's got Marlon Mack.
Ooh.
So it's just a 1/4 point for PPR. So, so it hurts me a little bit.
You're a little bit on the, you're a little bit of the underdog.
A little bit. But I feel like if Marlon Mack scores a touchdown, he's going to win. If Marlon Mack doesn't score a touchdown, I feel like I'm going to win. That's how I think it's fair.
Marlon Mack go like 14 carries, 43 yards and no touchdown. Right. Like,
right.
It could be one of those kind of games.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun one. And I feel like we've talked about this a bunch in the last few. I've been on the fun end of Monday Night Football a lot over the last month or so. It hasn't always worked out for me, but at least I'm going into this on the fun side of things.
Yeah. It's fun to have the action going on Monday night and give yourself something to, you know, like a rooting interest in that final game of the week.
Yeah, the most fun thing for Monday Night Football would be already having a win locked up. And we hope that that describes a lot of you. And we hope that you don't even need to hit the waiver wire. You're just listening to this for fun as you head to your fantasy championship. But we have a surprisingly robust waiver wire for week 16. Before we get to that, our usual housekeeping items. You can follow Brandon on Twitter at Brandon Funston. You can follow me at mbeller, theathletic.com/wire-to-wire will get you 40% off an annual subscription. If you are out there and still unsubscribed to The Athletic, go ahead and check that out. And before you do that, also, wherever you're listening, iTunes, Spotify, whatever it might be, please rate, review, and subscribe to Wire to Wire and all the other athletic podcasts that you listen to on those podcast services. A couple of basketball shows we want to tell you about. We told you about them a few times already, but Dunks and Dimes with Brandon Funston and Eric Wong, our fantasy basketball show, and Miles More Madness that is hosted by Tim Miles, the former Nebraska coach, and CJ Moore, one of our great college basketball writers here at The Athletic. I produce that one. It's our only national college basketball show. Just put the bow on an episode earlier this morning. Just published that and then came right to this. So please do check that out. We got into the craziness of the Big Ten to this point of the season and also talked about the Sun Bowl Invitational, which is before the Sun Bowl football game a little bit later this month. So please do check out Dunks and Dimes and Miles More Madness. Now, Funston, let's get to that surprisingly robust Week 16 waiver wire, and let's start with Breshad Perriman, someone who, if you had confidence in him in Week 15, likely carried you to the Fantasy Football Championship, a monster game for the Buccaneers and for fantasy owners. 5 catches on 6 targets, 113 yards, 3 touchdowns. He now has 70 yards or more in 3 straight games. No Mike Evans, we know, in Week 16, and looking like no Chris Godwin as well. Breshad Perriman is about to be the number one receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a matchup with the Houston Texans defense that really hasn't stopped anyone through the air of late.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about Breshad Perriman, but I guess we should also talk about Scotty Miller and Justin Watson.
You probably should, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Houston is on deck, and they have been known to be vulnerable in pass defense. But Breshad Perriman, wow, it's 3 straight games with 70-plus yards. I looked it up. It's the greatest receiving day in fantasy by a Perriman in NFL history. So, Brett Perriman, sorry, but this is Breshad's world now. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, we know Jameson is going to throw the ball. We know Bruce Arians is going to continue to tell him to throw the ball, and we are not overly daunted by this upcoming matchup. I think Perriman is a play, but you could also, if you had to go deeper, look at those other Bucks receiving assets that I mentioned as well, because really, they should all have a chance to put up some production.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Godwin obviously had a big day for the Buccaneers in their win over the Lions in Week 15. But, you know, he went out of that game sometime in the second half, and the Buccaneers were still able to move the ball through the air. Jameis Winston is not going to be shy just because he's down his two top receivers, two of the best receivers in the NFL. So Breshad Perriman, I think, obviously is the prize, but I'd be willing to trust any of these guys in my fantasy lineup. And in fact, the one where I already have advanced, I will be there with you if you are trusting Justin Watson. He was in my lineup in Week 15. I was hoping for the Perriman game. Didn't get it, of course, but I feel fine about rolling him out there in Week 16 in what looks like it's going to be a nice matchup with the Houston Texans. And down Evans, down Chris Godwin, got to think that those guys are both going to be in line for double-digit targets in Week 16. That, of course, is the name of the game. Anthony Miller has been living on double-digit targets for the Bears for the better part of a month now. Had himself another strong game in their loss to the Packers in Week 15. Miller had 9 grabs on 15 targets for 118 yards and a touchdown. We've got it right here over the last 5 games, 33 catches, 52 targets. He is finally becoming that staple of the passing game that it looked like the Bears wanted him to be when they traded up for him and made him a second round pick in the 2018 draft. Bears back home, eliminated from the playoffs, but they get the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 16. That is a matchup where at least we should expect the Bears to have to put the pedal to the metal if they want to keep up with the Chiefs offense. And Funston, for me, Anthony Miller really doesn't need a good matchup. After what we've seen from him now for 5 weeks running, he should be someone who is popular across the fantasy landscape no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. And our mantra on this show, which we say at least once a week, is you follow the volume, right? And a receiver, when you're averaging over 10 targets a game over the last 5 games, that is the kind of volume that you have to follow. And I agree. I don't think the matchup matters too much for Miller. I looked up KC giving up the second fewest fantasy points to the wide receiver position, but I don't worry about Miller and the matchup. I think they're going to have to throw, as you mentioned. Pat Mahomes looks like he's getting back to full health, and I would not be surprised if they put up decent numbers in that game on the scoreboard. So, and I think Anthony Miller, as far as a talent and how you can use him, move him around the field, I think there's ways that they can continue to get him the ball, and obviously Trubisky kind of is in love with him right now. So I think you could you can feel pretty confident. Maybe he won't give you the 9-catch, 118-yard touchdown performance again, but I think you're probably pushing double-digit targets, and with that, you'll take your chances, especially in PPR leagues.
Oh, definitely. And again, I mean, we're talking 2 out of 10, 2 out of 12 people in fantasy leagues who are still playing in week 16. Anthony Miller could be owned, but still, I mean, these are guys who can jump right into lineups. I mean, we would be super excited about these guys if it were week 4 or week 6, but still, even though it's not, these guys can get right into your lineup because of what they've done and the opportunities that they have in front of them in week 16. The last one we would talk about being excited about, Mike Boone would be an empty the fab budget kind of guy if this were week 4 or week 6, because he could be in line for owning the Minnesota backfield in week 16. We know Dalvin Cook suffered the arm injury, looked pretty bad. Obviously, we're all hoping that Dalvin Cook is able to get back to full strength and be ready for the playoffs, because this Minnesota team is really exciting, looks like a true Super Bowl contender, and would take a big hit without Dalvin Cook. Alexander Mattison, meanwhile, didn't play in week 15 because of an ankle injury. That opened the door for Boone after halftime. He had 13 carries for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. Even though this is a huge game, Funston, with the Packers in week 16, you don't think that they're going to chance either of these guys. It already sounds like Dalvin Cook for sure is going to be out, and I don't think they would rush Madison back either. They got to feel like they're almost certainly headed to the playoffs at this point with a 2-game cushion over the Rams. It feels like this is Mike Boone's show, and if it means that the Packers go into Minnesota and get the win and they got to play a wild card game, that's fine, but I don't think they would be giving that up necessarily either way. I think Mike Boone is totally in control of Minnesota's backfield for Fantasy Championship Week.
Yeah, it's starting to look that way. And this is kind of a crazy year. Like, patience is not being rewarded. We saw that with Herndon, the tight end. You wait and wait and wait, and then it's, you know, it ends up not happening for you. And then you wait on Alexander Mattison. I think if you polled any, you know, if you ran a poll throughout the year, I think Mattison would have led most of the way in terms of like the most highest priority handcuff to have. And then when you actually get a chance to an opportunity with Dalvin Cook, Alexander Madison's not there because of a DMP. So I think you said it best. Mike Boone is an empty the fab kind of play here against Green Bay. Green Bay has not been good against the run all season. Minnesota has been very good at running the ball, and that's, you know, that's the reason why we love Madison. Is not only is he talented, but this has been a really good rushing offense. And you would assume that maybe Mike Boone doesn't have the kind of ceiling that Cook has or even Madison, but he has the kind of ceiling that can put up a couple touchdowns and 56 yards in half a game. So in a good matchup like this, if Mike Boone, you know, continues to trend towards being the guy again, it's all in on that guy for sure.
You know, the craziest thing about Boone to me is that, so Dalvin Cook, right, was a mid-second round pick in general. You probably had a lot of Dalvin Cook owners in the semifinals who lost because of Dalvin Cook's injury, or at least partly because of Dalvin Cook's injury. Even if they were proactive Dalvin Cook owners, all they had was Alexander Mattison, right? There was no reason for them to have Mike Boone. So now Mike Boone steps into this situation where he has been, I would be willing to bet, 0% owned across the board in fantasy leagues. Maybe because Madison had the ankle injury coming into this week, someone in a deep league was very proactive and went out and grabbed Boone just in case. But I mean, this guy has to be, if we really took a poll of the entire fantasy universe, less than 1% owned, and suddenly becomes in a position to maybe carry a team to a fantasy championship, have one game of fantasy value and have that game be something where he carries people to fantasy championships. I mean, I wonder if it's ever happened before. I'm sure we could run through the play index if we're sophisticated users of it and try to isolate for week 16 only versus rest of the season. But I mean, Mike Boone might be about to set fantasy history in week 16.
Yeah, we'll have to ask our resident fantasy historian, David Ganos, what the story is on that. But I just looking up, Boone is 3% owned in Yahoo. And I don't know, there might be some leagues that allow for ads, you know, where.
Right. That's got to be it.
They don't lock. So I'm assuming that's probably why there's a bump. I would agree, though. Yeah. I don't know that anybody had any reason to own this guy leading up to this past week.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that 99% of that 3% happened after Dalvin Cook got hurt. Leagues that don't lock their players for some reason.
Yep, exactly. Or there's some kind of, I don't know, you know, it would have to be just some different kind of roster requirements. Maybe there's some really deep leagues with dynasty leagues or, you know, where they own everybody. You just never know.
So as our top picks, we're still sticking with that top pick format, even though this is our last show of the season. Brashad Perriman, Anthony Miller, and Mike Boone, our top picks. We've got just a few more guys that we want to talk to you about here on this on the Week 16 edition of Wire to Wire. The first is another running back, and it's Boston Scott. You know, you, me, and Jake talked about him a lot in the ranking show on Wednesday, really vis-a-vis Miles Sanders. We were talking more about Sanders, and we were talking about the risk associated with Sanders because of what Scott showed when the door was open for him back in Week 14 when Sanders had to miss some time because of cramping issues. Now, obviously, Miles Sanders did just fine for himself in Week 15, but you still saw Boston Scott get involved in the offense pretty heavily. 6 carries, 26 yards, 7 catches, 39 yards. We've now seen a couple of useful games from him. It doesn't seem like he's going away over the next two games. A huge, huge game in the NFC East between the Eagles and the Cowboys in Week 16. I'll put it to you like this, Funston. What sort of position would you have to be in to really be making the move for Boston? Obviously, you're only picking guys up. Well, let me start all over. Let's put blocking out of the equation, right? Of course, blocking is a different sort of strategy, and maybe you just don't want the person you're playing to have the opportunity to start Boston Scott. That's something that's going to be a case-by-case basis. But let's talk about if you actually were going to start Boston Scott, what position would you need to be in to actually pick him up and play him this week?
Yeah, so it's a flex consideration. Maybe you have, you're going around between a few different fringy wide receivers, and it's a PPR kind of bumped league, and you have to go in knowing that Jordan Howard's not playing again, and then I think you feel good about, oh, can Boston Scott continue to catch like the 6 passes and maybe get 60 to 70 total yards, and then you're suddenly putting him in there against, I don't know, the guys that you would maybe consider like the Golden Tates or the Christian Kirks or guys that are getting a lot of the 5 catches, 60 some yards. And I think you're just kind of giving them flex consideration in that area. But I like the matchup. Dallas has given up 81 receptions to the running back position. It's one of the higher numbers in the league. I think Philadelphia, if they don't have Jordan Howard back, I think they like the way this is working with Sanders and Scott getting around, a dozen touches and being heavily active in the passing game because he is so dangerous and so electric. So I think we would see that continue. And so what you'd have to do is just basically look at him like what he's done, like what he did this last week, not the week before where he kind of caught everybody by surprise. But I think what he did this past week is kind of the blueprint for what he can do going forward. And then you kind of weigh that against those fringy kind of receivers that you might be considering out there as well.
The first guy who came to mind for me when you said fringy receiver was Cole Beasley. So if you were making that decision, Cole, do you think that's like a fair decision to have to be making, or am I way off base? And then if you were making that exact decision, which one would you favor?
Yeah, I think that's fair because someone was just asking me this last week when I was at a basketball tournament, Cole Beasley or Christian Kirk, when I said that, I was thinking about that lady that was asking me because she was playing in her semifinal game. And I think because Cole Beasley is one of those guys who continually finds the end zone and randomly every once in a while have a big catch yardage day, I think he's one of those guys that's squarely on that kind of, fringe flex play week in and week out for sure.
I think so too. I think that's where Boston Scott fits, and so that's really what we're trying to figure out here in Week 16, right? There's no such thing as long term value in Week 16. If you're picking someone up this way, this is the one week of the season that you are picking someone up to start him immediately or to block him from going to the person who you're playing, and that's it. If you're not going to start him immediately, if the person on your that you're going to be playing against can't use him, then whatever. I mean, you're just sort of going through the waiver motions if you're going to grab him, but not actually do either of those things. So I do think that's a fair spot for Boston Scott. How about the Miami backs, Myles Gaskin and Patrick Laird? We saw both of them get involved in the loss to the Giants. Patrick Laird, 12 carries for 46 yards, got 5 targets, caught just 2 of them for 8 yards. Meanwhile, Myles Gaskin had 9 carries for 43 yards, 2 catches for 29 yards. They do play Cincinnati in Week 16, not a bad matchup. But for me, Funston, I would have to be pretty desperate to be going after either of these guys, and it would have to be full PPR.
Yeah, it'd have to be a deep league. This is kind of your deep lead, deep leaguer nod. I'm curious about Myles Gaskin, though, because he just, you know, he had a career high 11 touches in this game. He had the 9 carries for 43 yards, had a couple plays from scrimmage of 20 plus yards. So I'm wondering if we'll hear any kind of rumbling or anything that maybe Myles Gaskin gets an increased workload. I think if you could count on, say, Gaskin or Patrick Laird to get 15 plus touches, then you love the matchup against Cincinnati. And then suddenly they become someone that maybe you consider as high as like a Boston Scott. Boston Scott, obviously, you know, is going to get a majority of his stuff in the passing game, which has a little higher value in, you know, in any kind of PPR bump league. But the matchup's good enough that if someone is looking like a clear cut, you know, mid-teens touch guy, then you start to throw them into that mix with those fringy wide receivers and that flex spot in deeper leagues.
Yeah, but then again, but it would still have to be a situation where, like, maybe you're Dalvin Cook, right? Maybe you're a Dalvin Cook owner who survived, and you can't get Mike Boone or whatever, and then you're turning to these guys. But it's still a situation where we're thinking you have to reach. Like, we're not saying if you're going in, you know, with your full complement, with your full roster basically intact, we're not saying grab Boston Scott and start him over one of your regulars. Grab Myles Gaskin and start him over your regulars. We're saying you are clearly surviving to week 16, not advancing with your chest puffed out. And that's why these guys, or that's where these guys really come into the fantasy discussion for championship week. Let's hit on a few wide receivers here, Funston. The first being James Washington. He topped 80 yards for the fourth time in his last 6 games in the loss to Buffalo in week 15. 5 grabs for 83 yards. The 11 targets do jump out at you. Steelers go to New York to take on the Jets in week 16. Where do we slot him? Again, for me, it feels just like another situation where, and this one feels even dicier than the running backs because of how deep the wide receiver pool is. We have had a lot of injuries to this group of late, and I think that's really where a lot of these guys that we're going to talk about factor into the picture.
Yeah, I think Washington, you know, because he's been putting up decent yardage, I mean, he looks clearly to be Devlin Hodges, a top target, you know, and he's looking good. He just looks good. I like the matchup against the Jets. They have problems on the outside with their corners, deep guys. Guys with James Washington's skill set have done very well against the Jets. So I think the matchup's very good. The workload is starting to increase, and the production's been there for the last month and a half. So he looks, we'll have to see about Juju Smith-Schuster. If he's back this week, that could change things up a little bit. But if no Juju, then I would be interested in him. I could see a team owning him and having a pretty tough decision, you know, and maybe a deep 12 team or anything deeper than that, of having a pretty hard time saying, yeah, in this situation, I'm going to have to sit you out, James Washington. And I think he's going to, you know, make a tough decision for a fantasy owner for sure.
All right, let me give you this just to put it in a real world context. So that league where I'm probably starting Justin Watson, we start 3 receivers, we start 2 flexes. I didn't keep a ton of receivers on my bench because it was my strongest position with Mike Evans, Tyler Lockett, Julian Edelman. It just didn't feel like a position that I needed to have too many. Then I lose Evans. I've got Watson in there. If you were me, would you try to make a move for Washington and start him ahead of Watson?
You know, that's kind of the bird in hand move, where it's like, if they're so close, do you make the move or you just say, okay, you know what, either of these guys would be decent options, but since I'm currently sitting on Watson, I liked him last week before Godwin was out, and now that Godwin is out, now you kind of are like, okay, this could be a whole nother level of opportunity for him. So I think as I'm sitting going into the week, I'm holding on to Watson because, again, there's probably a decent chance that Juju, who was trending towards playing last week and didn't, is probably going to play this week. And to me, that would be the deal breaker for Washington.
A couple more receivers who had similar games in week 15, Kenny Stills and Chris Conley. Not a ton of catches for either guy, but multiple scores for both of them. Conley had 4 grabs, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kenny Stills, 3 catches, 35 yards, also 2 touchdowns, 3 scores in his last 3 games. Also there for Kenny Stills. Either of these guys separate themselves from the other for you? Do either of them belong in the same conversation as Justin Watson or James Washington, or are we talking even deeper here?
Yeah, I think they're deeper. If I had to rank them, I think I would go Conley over Stills. Stills just had the three targets and two of them went for touchdowns. Stills has a better matchup against the Buccaneers, but I don't dislike Conley's matchup at Atlanta as well. They can be susceptible, obviously, on a defensive side. Their game against the 49ers, you know, accepted there, but these are deeper plays, and you know, going into your finals, you don't really want to be in a position to have to choose one of these guys, but some people are. And so, you know, the opportunity is going to be decent for them. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you have to take a flex flyer, these would be the guys that you'd probably want to be looking at.
All right, let's get into the stream discussion and wrap things up here for the Week 16 show. Funston, we're going to talk tight ends to stream also, because I guess technically anyone you're picking up this week is a stream, right? Just one game left. So tight ends, quarterbacks, and defenses. Any tight ends out there, you give me, just like we do at quarterback and defense, you give one and I'll give one here too. A tight end that jumps out at you that if you need someone at the position and you're looking at picking up someone who's 40 or less percent owned across the fantasy landscape, someone you would be comfortable rolling with this week.
You know what? I'm going to say O.J. Howard. He would come full circle on O.J. Howard. He's finishing strong, but we talked about the, you know, the injuries in the Tampa Bay receiving core to Evans and Godwin. And Howard last week had eight targets, you know, four catches, 46 yards. That's a serviceable day for a tight end, but he's averaging 60 yards over his past three games. You get Houston, who's had their issues with the tight end position. So I think O.J. Howard's in a good position to probably see another eight, maybe even more targets next week, and maybe he cashes one in the end zone. But I think, you know, the yardage has been there, and I think it'll continue to be there for Howard.
Yeah, I think that's a good call for sure. And it would be hilarious if O.J. Howard just suddenly had, you know, like a 108 catch, 105 yard, two touchdown game in week 16, 3 months after anyone who used a fifth round pick on him dropped him. It would just be just so perfect for the OJ Howard drafters out there if that ended up happening this week. I'm going to stick in that same state of Florida, but go to Mike Gesicki. And the main reason I do it is right here. 666-7758. Those are Mike Gesicki total target numbers over the last seven games. So this guy is getting six or seven looks per game from Ryan Fitzpatrick in a pass-happy, pretty effective offense. And that right there is enough for me at the tight end position. Now, it hasn't translated to big numbers, but as you said, when we're talking about this part of the tight end position, you don't really need that much to hit the expectations or hit the level that you need to have a productive game, to have a useful game. And he's got a 95-yard game in there. He's got a 79-yard game in there. He's got a couple of four or more catch games, a six-catch game. He's got two touchdowns. So he's cobbled together enough, and the looks are going to be there for him in a pretty friendly offense and a friendly matchup against Cincinnati. So Mike Gesicki would be my guy, and I would go after him actually before I went after O.J. Howard, even though I agree with all the analysis you put forth on one of the biggest busts of the 2019 fantasy football season. How about quarterbacks to stream, Funston? Who are you trusting to carry you to a championship victory?
Well, I think I'm going to go to the guy that's going to be throwing Gesicki the ball, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he's got Devontae Parker back in action as well. He's got some weapons to work with, and he's got the great matchup against Cincinnati. But you look at Fitzpatrick coming off 279 yards and a couple touchdowns. Nice job. That was your streaming choice from last week. And certainly if people went out and grabbed him, they are feeling good about that. And those same people can just keep him in their lineup and roll with him again this week. Because if you were into Ryan Fitzpatrick last week, you should be as much or more interested in him this week in a home game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Dude, those two leagues, the one where I'm already in the championship and the one where Michael Thomas can get me there tonight, those are both super flex leagues, and both of those teams have Ryan Fitzpatrick on them. That's the one commonality. Oh, no, Julian Edelman also. Those are the two commonalities between those two teams are Julian Edelman and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So believe me, I am all in on Fitzmagic this season, and I agree. He would be my favorite of the guys that we have listed. If I couldn't get him, God, you know, it's not the best week. I actually think I would go to Drew Lock. I mean, Detroit has been atrocious against the pass for, I mean, months on end now. And so, you know, you look at some of the other guys that maybe are in there. Gardner Minshew at Atlanta. Not sure I trust that. Mitch Trubisky at home against Kansas City. I can maybe get on board with that. I would put him in that same category as Drew Lock. But those would be the two guys who I would look to if I couldn't get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Probably Drew Lock and Mitch Trubisky. Love the matchup for Lock. And, you know, credit where credit's due. I've dogged Trubisky a lot across our entire suite of podcasts this season. But he has looked a whole lot better in the last month or so. A lot of that was on soft opponents, but even against Green Bay in week 15, he gave you a useful performance, as we talked about Anthony Miller having that big game, all those numbers coming with Mitch Trubisky on the other side. Finally, defenses to stream in week 16. Funston, defense could be a huge difference this week. Who do you got?
Yeah, overall, the Jets have been a good defense in reality in terms of yards per play allowed. They're kind of middle of the pack in terms of fantasy points per game. But I like the Jets at home against Devlin Hodges, who we saw throw four interceptions on Sunday night. You know, you look at the Steelers team, they had those four interceptions. They've had three fumbles in the last two games. They've had seven sacks allowed in the last two games. So I'm going to go ahead and chase the kind of recent generosity of this Pittsburgh offense and go ahead and go with the Jets at home this week.
You know what? I'm going to back up my quarterback choice with my defense choice. Broncos at home against the Lions. I mean, that could be a blowout. I mean, look at the Lions just got embarrassed at home by Tampa Bay. And Tampa has been a pretty competent team over the second half of the season. And I think we could be talking about them as a chic playoff pick next year. But still, I mean, to get the doors blown off you by Tampa Bay, I mean, this Detroit team ready to pack it in for the 2019 season. David Blough going to be making another start on the road in Denver. Not an easy place to play. I think we got a couple of turnovers, a couple of sacks at least in order, and some real touchdown upside for that Denver defense. So they're a team, again, this is another money where my mouth is situation. I looked ahead in one league last week, the one where I've already advanced. I looked ahead last week, looked at what teams I could pick up for week 16 in case I advanced, and Denver was the one that I picked up. So I will be right there with you, excuse me, if you end up taking this advice and starting the Denver Broncos in your championship game. I, too, am starting them in at least one championship matchup this week. Funston, we ran through it, but hey, man, that's what week 16 calls for. Not a lot of guys, a lot of excitement. Week 16 waiver wire shows should be something that we run right through. Thank you for listening to us this week and all season. Again, we'll have one more show. This will be after the new year. We're going to do it on Monday, January 6th. We're going to do our waiver wire all-star team. So think players like Ryan Tannehill, for example. Build an all-star team completely out of guys who were less than, maybe we'll give ourselves 50%, still figuring that out, but less than 50% owned after drafts. And that'll be our final show of Wire to Wire for the 2019 season. Funston, our maiden voyage on this show. It's been a lot of fun, man. Thanks for being such a great partner.
Yeah, right back at you. I look forward to our next show reflecting back on the season that was. But until then, you know, have a great holidays, and we'll do it again in 2020.
Absolutely. Same to you and same to everyone out there. Again, thank you so much for listening with us all season. We'll be back with you in a few weeks. So have a great holiday, whatever it might be. Have a great new year. And most importantly, if you are listening, have a great, great week 16. Thanks for listening all season long. Let's all go out there and win a fantasy football championship. For Brandon Funston, I'm Michael Beller. This has been Wire to Wire.